organizers for the invitations and for giving me the opportunity to speak during this conference. Okay, I will talk about special geometries associated to eight-dimensional quaternionkerr manifolds. So first of all, I would like to mention that this talk is based on a joint work with Fabio Lonegro, Yasuyuki Nagatomo, and Simon Salomon. It's an ongoing project, so I will present the setting of the problem. I will mention some results we have obtained and some plans that we have, some other questions that we would like to solve in the future. So I will start really from the beginning. I recall the definition of the algebra of quaternions, which can be regarded as a four-dimensional real vector space generated by a quadruple of elements, 1, I, j, k, where I, j, k behave like imaginary units. So this, the square is minus 1, and the product of I and j gives k. With this product, defined in this way, this algebra is associative, but it's not commutative. And so we can construct a quaternionic vector space using the quaternions as scalars, but we have to be careful and define the multiplication and decide if we want it on the right or on the left. And so it's quite customary to define it on the right. And in the same way, since the multiplication on the right by non-zero quaternions gives rise to elements of the, if we identify HN with the R to the 4N, with the 4N dimensional real vector space, we can see the elements of H star multiplying on the right as elements of the general linear group on the 4N dimensional real vector space. And the subgroup which commutes with this right multiplication is the group, the general linear quaternionic group. The idea is that we, in the same way as we define complex manifolds which are modeled on the complex field, we would like to give a definition of manifolds which are, in some sense, modeled on the quaternions. So one possible definition is the following. We consider M a differentiable manifold, and we define on it a quaternionic structure. Quaternionic structure is a three-dimensional subbundle of the bundle of endomorphisms of the tangent bundle. So where the fiber is three-dimensional, so seismorphic to R3, and it's spanned locally by a triple of elements, I1, I2, and I3, which satisfy the same algebraic conditions of the quaternions. The three-dimensional fiber can be identified with the imaginary part of the quaternions. Now, moreover, we're interested in Riemannian geometry, so we introduce a metric G on this manifold, which will have a dimension multiple of 4. And we require that this triple of elements, which span the bundle G, to be compatible with the matrix, in the sense that if we plug one of these endomorphisms in the metric remains unchanged. And then, once that we have this compatibility condition, we require to have a so-called quaternionic Kerr manifold, or QK for brevity. We require it to satisfy one of the following equivalent conditions. So the first is that the holonomy group should be contained in the group SPN times SP1. The second is that the bundle G should be preserved by the covariant differentiation, where here nabla represents the Levi-Civita connection of the metric. Or the third condition, again equivalent, is that we can construct locally, combining the metric with these local sections that generate the bundle, a triple of two forms, And this combination then gives an embedding of the quaternionic bundle G inside the bundle of two forms of the tangent space. And then if we take, so these three forms, omega 1, omega 2, and omega 3 are local, but if we take the trace, we obtain a four form omega, which is globally defined. And then we require it to be parallel. So if one of these three conditions is satisfied, we talk about quaternionic Keller manifold. These manifolds have several interesting properties. So, for instance, they are always Einstein manifolds. And so they have, in particular, constant scalar curvature. And we will be mainly interested in the case where the scalar curvature is non-zero. So or positive or negative. Okay, just to introduce some examples. So we can consider the projective plane HP2, which is the space that parameterizes the quaternionic lines contained in H3. So the four-dimensional subspaces in H3, which are invariant by the right multiplication by the imaginary quaternions. This manifold is, for instance, we can, of course, generalize this this to any dimension, but we are in particular interested in dimension 8, and so we will focus in particular on HP2, which is eight-dimensional. So this space is in particular homogeneous with respect to the group SP3, which can be seen as the intersection of GL3H with a special orthogonal group in dimension 12. And in this sense can be regarded as the quotient space of SP3 over SP2, SP1. And it's symmetric, not only homogeneous, but it's also a symmetric space. And so in particular has a 21-dimensional algebra of Killing vector fields. So there's plenty of Killing vector fields on these manifolds. In dimension 8, there are other two examples with the positive scalar curvature, which are respectively the symmetric space G2 over SO4 and the Grassmannian of the two complex planes inside C4. With the isometric groups, respectively, of dimension 14 and 15. In dimension 8, the case of positive scalar curvature is the quaternionic manifolds with the positive scalar curvature are classified, and so they're just these three. This is a result of the 80s by Poon and Salomon. And there's a conjecture which says, due to Lebrun and Salomon, which says that in positive scalar curvature, all the quaternionic manifolds are symmetric spaces of this type, and they're called Wall spaces, but the conjecture is not yet proved in general. So the condition, anyways, is quite rigid. I would like now to introduce instead the geometry based on another big group. So before we had the SPN, SP1. And this time, instead, I would like to introduce the group, the exceptional group G2, which can be regarded as the subgroup of the general linear group in dimension 7, which is characterized by the fact of preserving this three form phi. And so, again, we can modelize a manifold on this type of geometry. So a seven-dimensional Riemannian manifold, which admits a section phi of this type, which can be locally expressed in this form. We have a structure group contained in G2, which besides appears to be a subgroup of SO7. If, moreover, we require that the covariant derivative of the form phi is zero, then the holonomy group would be restricted to a subgroup of G2. And Fernandez and Gray in the, I think in the 80s, proved that the condition of being parallel for the phi is equivalent to the phi being harmonic. And this type of manifolds with this special holonomy have appeared to be important in physics in M theory. And that's another reason for which they have been intensively studied in the last 20 years or so. The first examples of these manifolds, of complete manifolds of this type, appeared in the 80s in a work by Bryant and Salomon, where they constructed a matrix with the holonomy actually equal to G2 on the total spaces of certain vector bundles over four-dimensional manifolds like S4 and CP2. So here the notation means the lambda 2 plus are is the subbundle of the bundle of two forms, of a self-dual two forms over the manifold of the fourth sphere. And on the right, we have the bundle of self-dual two forms over the projective, complex projective plane CP2. So we have two rank 3 bundles over two four-dimensional bundles. And in both cases, so the total space is seven-dimensional. And so the way to, using the existence of groups of isometries, SO5 in the first case and SO3 in the second, which act on these total spaces with the homogeneity 1, so with the generic orbits, which are hypersurfaces, the problem of the harmonicity of the three-form phi has been reduced to a system of ordinary differential equations, which have been solved, and so which gave these first complete examples of this type of reduced holonomy matrix. But after that, many other constructions appeared, and both from mathematicians and from physicists to witness the interest that this type of reduced holonomy manifolds have gained in the last 20 years. But still there is interest in finding new methods for constructing these objects. And so the question is, and also to find relationships of this G2 geometry with other special geometries. And so for instance, one question that one may ask is if we consider an eight-dimensional manifold with some special holonomy, so with a holonomy contained in a special group. I recall that there's at least due to Berger. Of possible holonomy groups in a Riemannian manifold. So we have UN for Taylor manifolds. Well, SUN for special Taylor manifolds. We have SPN for hyperkähler. And SPN, SP1 for Quaternion-Kähler. And G2. In dimension 7 and spin 7 in dimension 8. So, for instance, this type of question was already addressed by Achary and Witten in this work of 2001, where they discussed the possibility of constructing G2 matrix on the quotient X over S1 over a certain eight-dimensional hypercurve manifolds. Here, yeah, I recall that hypercurl manifolds are manifolds with the holonomy contained in the group SPN, so they can be considered as the Ricci flat version of quaternionic Keeler manifolds, where the bundle G that I mentioned at the beginning is trivial. And the spend by a triple I1, I2, I3 of global parallel sections. And so what we are trying to do is to use the same approach, but instead of considering these hypercurl manifolds, consider quaternion Keeler manifolds, so where the scalar curvature is non-zero. So how can we proceed? So we have this this quotient, this topological quotient. So so we know that we have plenty of Keeling vector fields because we have seen that the three examples in positive scalar curvature have large isometry groups. So for instance, let us consider the specific case of HP2. So we can identify a Keeling vector field by a triple weights Q0, Q1, and Q2, which give basically the coordinates of a or the Keeling vector field in the three-dimensional algebra of the group SP3, the maximal Cartan subalgebra of SP3. And so what is the most natural thing to do to obtain a tree form which can be pushed down to the quotient and hoping that will give rise to a G2 tree form? So here we have to remove the zero locus of the Keeling vector field, and which ingredients do we have at our disposal? We have the form omega, which was the fundamental form of the quaternionic structure upstairs, and we have our Keeling vector field K. And so the most natural thing to do is to contract them, so that we have a tree form which can be pushed down. And in fact, it turns out to be horizontal, closed, and invariant. And so it's a good candidate since it satisfies the closeness condition, which is the first one that we have to satisfy in order to have a G2 structure. Moreover, we would like it to be also co-closed, but for sure if we don't have a closed form to push down, we cannot even start the discussion. But unfortunately, this construction doesn't work, because the tree form that we obtain in this way is not the right one. This can be seen in the following way. We can take a local orthonormal frame in the eight-dimensional quaternion Keeler manifold, and we it's always possible to find an orthonormal local coframe for which the three local forms which span the quaternionic bundle are written in this form. And so if we identify the element E8 with the normalization of our Keeling vector field, and we write the form omega, which I recall is just the trace of the three forms. What we obtain is a form which has this expression, and it's almost identical to the G2 invariant tree form, but it's not identical because of this last term here with the minus 3 e to the 765, which has the wrong sign. In fact, it's well known that the stabilizer of this form is not G2, our compact group G2, but it's the non-compact dual G2 star contained in a Lorentzian SO34 group. And so this is not the right answer, even if it's the most natural to think of at first sight. So what we need to do is to modify this tree form in order to correct the coefficient of this last term and obtain a form which has the right stabilizer, but in this way we shouldn't distract the closeness condition, because otherwise we could not have the holonomy reduction. So what we can do is to consider other forms, other tree forms, which are somehow associated to the circulation that we have on this UK manifold, and try to combine them with the form gamma obtained with this contraction in order to compensate this negative coefficient. So let us list the objects which are associated with our action. We have our kilometric field. We also have a moment map, mu, which is a section of the quaternionic bundle, which is defined by this formula. So we take the covariant differential of k. Actually, here it should be the dual of k. So we get a two form, an alternate two form, and we can project it on the bundle G, which is a subbundle of the bundle of two forms. And this moment map plays a similar role in the quaternionic reduction theory that the moment map in symplectic or a Kähler or hyperkähler context plays. In particular, the existence of this section, mu, allows to break the bundle G in two parts. So the mu itself and the orthogonal complement N, which would be a two-dimensional subbundle, which and this splitting would be well defined away from the zero section of the moment map. Moreover, we can write down the structure equations of the bundle. So the bundle G is preserved by covariant differentiation, and so we can identify the local one forms associated to the connection, to the Levi-Civita connection. And this produces other S1 invariant forms, which are associated to the splitting, which comes from the determination of the moment map mu. So we can, for instance, identify mu normalized with one of the elements in the local basis. And moreover, we have this form here, beta, which appears in the structure equations, which plays a special role because its exterior derivative is a two form, which is the curvature form of the bundle N, which is orthogonal to the moment map. And then we have these other two three forms, which are the exterior derivative of the omega 1 and the combination of I1, which is again associated to omega 1 with this exterior derivative, and these are all well-defined forms away from the zero section of the moment map. And so we can use these new forms to construct to compensate at least locally this coefficient which is wrong in the simple contraction of k with omega. And so let us consider the open dense subset in M8 in our eight-dimensional quaternion Kähler manifold, which is obtained by removing the zero locus of the Killing field and the zero locus of the moment map, which both create the degeneracies. And we can define this form tau. So defined from I1, which is the endomorphism associated to the quaternionic momentum map. Alpha zero, I recall, alpha zero is the dual of the Killing field. And again, we have these two forms obtained by combining together these, the beta, this curvature form of the mandolin, and again, the form omega 1. And now using this, if you write in local coordinates this, this tree form, we see that it has exactly the form which we need to compensate that little red bit of the contracted form. And so if we choose correctly the coefficient here, we can, in fact, compensate the term and obtain a form, a tree form, which will be, which will have the right stabilizer. And so we have the, we have this theorem. Let us consider a manifold M8, a quaternionical manifold, with an associated NS1 action, and with the notation used above. So gamma is again the contraction of K with omega, and tau is just defined here. And we can choose two coefficients, A and B, two functions, which are functions of the norm of the moment map and of a real parameter T, such that the tree form phi obtained in this way has the right form. In fact, it's a G2, the G2 form for so we have a one parameter family of forms of type G2, depending on this parameter, on this real parameter. And we have, if we choose A and B properly, we can keep the closeness condition. So this this form will have the right type, the right stabilizer, and moreover will be closed. And so we can push it down to the quotient of this open subset and obtain a manifold which is which has a G2 structure group. And more or less it's a full calibrated manifold in the sense that satisfies the closest condition. But we don't know yet if it's if amongst this family of G2 structure, if there's any which is also with the G2 holonomy. So if also the co-closeness condition is satisfied, this is something we still have to understand. But we believe so because of this example. So let us consider the case of HP2. So the projective quaternionic plane with, for instance, the action S1 associated to the weight 1, 0, 0. Then in this case, the zero locus of the Killing field is a sphere, which can be also regarded as HP1, as the quaternionic projective line, union the antipodal point. And the zero locus of the moment map is the same S4, the same HP1. So the zero locus of the moment map coincides with one of the kinetic components of the zero locus of K, which is a quite special situation because in general they can intersect, but they don't coincide in this way for other choices of the weight. And in particular here, the centralizer of this circle is equal to the circle by SP2 embedded in SP3. And if we remove from HP2 these two subsets, we obtain an open subset which surjects over the bundle of self-dual two forms over S4 minus the zero section, S4 itself. And the projection is SP2 equivalent. So the orbits of the of this commutator of this commutator are sent to orbits in lambda 2 of S4 respect to the same action of SP2 seen as S4 that had been used by Bryant and Salm to construct their first examples. So this gives us a reason to believe that some of these quotients in this family of G2 calibrated matrix, there should be at least the basic examples of Bryant and Salm. Well, so the questions that remain to be solved are, well, at least some of the questions that remain to be solved are, first of all, the description of a star phi in this family of G2 tree forms, and impose the condition of harmonicity, so of the co-closed condition, and see if any of these G2 structures satisfy it. And another question that is to study the relationships between the half-flat structure. We can obtain a half-flat structure on the hypersurfaces of these quaternionic Keller manifolds quotient by S1. So we have a mu equal to a constant gives a hypersurface in the hypersurface in the manifold, which can be again we can take the quotient and we obtain a six-dimensional manifold. And it can be shown that with the forms that we have considered before, we can obtain a special an SU3 structure. An SU3 structure, which is not special Keller, but still has satisfied some special equations, which make it interesting. And it's known that the cones over these this type of structures have G2 holonomy. And so we would like to compare and see if the quotients that we obtain on one side are equal to the cones that we obtain in this other way, so if the two constructions commute. And finally, study other examples with other weights more concretely, which could be related to the other examples studied by Bryant and Sal. And that's all.
Excuse me?
Not for the moment. It's not clear how to express the Hodge star operator because we don't know explicitly how the metric is. But we should find an expression for the metric, and then we will be able to do it. Yeah, that's the strategy. Well, these results are general, so they hold also for a G2. No, and I think maybe it's harder because, you know, with HP2, you always have the non-homogeneous coordinates that allow you to do explicit calculations relatively easily. G2 over SO4 is a bit more delicate. It is maybe possible, but for the moment, we don't have precise answers.